63. From Hero's front yard to L. Bob Reif's black cube at port 127 is halfway around the metaverse, a distance of 32,768 kilometers. The only hard part, really, is getting out of downtown. He can ride his bike straight through the avatars as usual, but the street is also cluttered with vehicles, animercials, commercial displays, public plazas, and other bits of solid-looking software that get in his way. Not to mention a few distractions. Off to his right, about a kilometer away from the black sun, is a deep hole in the hyper-Manhattan skyline. It is an open plaza about a mile wide, a park of sorts, where avatars can gather for concerts and conventions and festivals. Most of it is occupied by a deep-dish amphitheater that is capable of seating close to 1 million avatars at once. Down at the bottom is a huge circular stage. Normally the stage is occupied by major rock groups. Tonight, it is occupied by the grandest and most brilliant computer hallucinations that the human mind can invent. A three-dimensional marquee hangs above it, announcing tonight's event. A benefit graphics concert, staged on behalf of David Meyer, who is still hospitalized with an inexplicable disease. The amphitheater is half-filled with hackers. Once he gets out of downtown, Hero twists his throttle up to the max and covers the remaining 32,000 and some kilometers in the space of about 10 minutes. Over his head, the express trains are whooshing down the track at a metaphorical speed of 10,000 miles per hour. He passes them like they're standing still. This only works because he's riding in an absolutely straight line. He's got a routine coded into his motorcycle software that makes it follow the monorail track automatically so that he doesn't even have to worry about steering it. Meanwhile, Juanita's standing next to him in reality. She's got another pair of goggles. She can see all the same things that Hero sees. Reif's got a mobile uplink on his corporate chopper, just like the one on commercial airliners, so he can patch into the metaverse when he's in the air. As long as he's airborne, that's his only link to the metaverse. We may be able to hack our way into that one link and block it or something.
That low-level communication stuff is too full of medicine for us to mess with it in this decade, Hero says, breaking his motorcycle to a stop. Holy shit. It's just like YT described it. He's in front of port 127. Reif's black cube is there, just as YT described it. There's no door. Hero starts walking away from the street toward the cube. It reflects no light at all, so he can't tell whether it's 10 feet or 10 miles away from him until the security demons begin to materialize. There are half a dozen of them, all big, sturdy avatars in blue coveralls, sort of quasi-military-looking, but without rank. They don't need rank, because they're all running the same program. They materialize around him in a neat semicircle with a radius of about 10 feet, blocking Hero's way to the cube. Hero mumbles a word under his breath and vanishes. He slips into his invisible avatar. It would be very interesting to hang around and see how these security demons deal with it, but right now he has to get moving before they get a chance to adjust. They don't, at least not very well. Hero runs between two of the security demons and heads for the wall of the cube. He finally gets there, slamming into it, coming to a dead stop. The security demons have all turned around and are chasing him. They can figure out where he is. The computer tells them that much, but they can't do much to him. Like the bouncer demons in the Black Sun, which Hero helped write, they shove people around by applying basic rules of avatar physics. When Hero is invisible, there is very little for them to shove. But if they are well written, they may have more subtle ways of messing him up so he's not wasting any time. He pokes his katana through the side of the cube and follows it through the wall and out the other side. This is a hack. It is really based on a very old hack, a loophole that he found years ago when he was trying to graft the sword-fighting rules onto the existing metaverse software. His blade doesn't have the power to cut a hole in the wall. This would mean permanently changing the shape of someone else's building, but it does have the power to penetrate things. Avatars do not have that power. That is the whole purpose of a wall in the metaverse. It is a structure that does not allow avatars to penetrate it. But like anything else in the metaverse, this rule is nothing but a protocol, a convention that different computers agree to follow. In theory, it cannot be ignored. But in practice, it depends upon the ability of different computers to swap information very precisely, at high speed, and at just the right times. And when you are connected to the system over a satellite uplink, as Hero is, out here on the raft, there is a delay as the signals bounce up to the satellite and back down. That delay can be taken advantage of if you move quickly and don't look back. Hero passes right through the wall on the tail end of his all-penetrating katana. Rifeland is a vast, brightly lit space occupied by elementary shapes done up in primary colors. It is like being inside an educational toy designed to teach solid geometry to three-year-olds. Cubes, spheres, tetrahedrons, polyhedrons connected with a web of cylinders and lines and helixes. But in this case, it has gone way, way out of control, as if every Tinker Toy set and Lego block ever made had been slapped together according to some long-forgotten scheme. Hero's been around the metaverse long enough to know that despite the bright, cheery appearance of this thing, it is in fact as simple and utilitarian as an army camp. This is a model of a system, a big, complicated system. The shapes probably represent computers or central nodes in Rife's worldwide network, or Pearly Gates franchises, or any other kind of local and regional offices that Rife has going around the world. By clambering over this structure and going into those bright shapes, Hero could probably uncover some of the code that makes Rife's network operate. He could perhaps try to hack it up, as Juanita suggested. But there is no point in messing with something he doesn't understand. He might waste hours fooling around with some piece of code only to find out that it was the software to control the automatic toilet flushers at Rife Bible College. So Hero keeps moving, keeps looking up at the tangle of shapes, trying to find a pattern. He knows now that he has found his way into the boiler room of the entire metaverse, but he has no idea what he's looking for. This system, he realizes, really consists of several separate networks all tangled together in the same space. There's an extremely complicated tangle of fine red lines, millions of them running back and forth between thousands of small red balls. Just as a wild guess, Hero figures that this may represent Rife's fiber optics network, with its innumerable local offices and nodes spread all over the world. There are a number of less complicated networks in other colors, which might represent coaxial lines, such as they used to use for cable television, or even voice phone lines. And there is a crude, heavily built, blocky network all done up in blue. It consists of a small number, fewer than a dozen, of big blue cubes. They are connected to each other, but nothing else, by massive blue tubes. The tubes are transparent, and inside of them, Hero can see bundles of smaller connections in various colors. It has taken Hero a while to see all of this, because the blue cubes are nearly obscured. They are all surrounded by little red balls and other small nodes, like trees being overwhelmed with kudzu. It appears to be an older, pre-existing network of some kind, with its own internal channels, mostly primitive ones, like voice phone. Rife is patched into it heavily, with his own higher-tech systems. Hero maneuvers until he can get a closer look at one of the blue cubes, peering through the clutter of lines that has grown around it. The blue cube has a big white star on each of its six faces. "It's the government of the United States," Juanita says. "Where hackers go to die," Hero says. "The largest and yet the least efficient producer of computer software in the world." Hero and YT have eaten a lot of junk food together in different joints all over L.A. Donuts, burritos, pizza, sushi, you name it. And all YT ever talks about is her mother and the terrible job that she has with the feds. The regimentation, the lie detector tests. The fact that for all the work she does, she really has no idea what it is that the government is really working on. It's always been a mystery to Hiro, too, but then that's how the government is. It was invented to do stuff that private enterprise doesn't bother with, which means that there's probably no reason for it. You never know what they're doing or why. Hackers have traditionally looked upon the government's coding sweatshops with horror and just tried to forget that all of that shit ever existed. But they have thousands of programmers. The programmers work 12 hours a day out of some twisted sense of personal loyalty. Their software engineering techniques, while cruel and ugly, are very sophisticated. They must have been up to something.
Juanita?
Yeah?
Don't ask me why I think this. But I think that the government has been undertaking a big software development project for Elbop Reif.
Makes sense, she says. He has such a love-hate relationship with his programmers. He needs them, but he won't trust them. The government's the only organization he would trust to write something important. I wonder what it is.
Hold on, Hiro says.
Hold on.
He is now a stone's throw away from a big blue cube sitting at ground level. All the other blue cubes sort of feed into it. There is a motorcycle parked next to the cube, rendered in color, but just one notch above black and white. Big jaggedy pixels and a limited color palette. It has a sidecar, and Raven standing next to it. He is carrying something in his arms. It is another simple geometric construction. A long, smooth blue ellipsoid, a couple of feet in length. From the way he's moving, Hiro thinks that Raven has just removed it from the blue cube. He carries it over to the motorcycle and nestles it into the sidecar.
The big one, Hiro says.
It's exactly what we were afraid of, Juanita says. Reif's revenge.
Headed for the amphitheater, where all the hackers are gathered in one place. Reif's going to infect all of them at once. He's going to burn their minds.